Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Everyone, welcome back in. Thank you for coming back. Making sure you end that. Whoever's the last to sit down buys us all lunch. Honey, sit down quick. Dave, okay. We got some generous people or some long talkers. Hey, once again, we're glad that you're here. Thank you very, very much. And one of the joys before we get into the word, and I just want to welcome you to, if you don't have your Bible, would you raise your hand and our ushers are going to make sure we get a Bible in your hand. I just like, as a pastor, to get people used to paper Bibles and electronic apt Bibles. Either one. We will be getting into the word of the Lord. You need a Bible and a bulletin. We always say the BBs. You need both here. And it's very helpful to draw from those. It's exciting to be able, once again, to acknowledge the need for God's word and to see it in print so significant. Hey, just before we begin as well, the message today, and you'll see on the back, we're on part three of seeing the kingdom rewards. I wanted to just kind of step out just one more time with a prophetic word. And if this is something that's new to you, we are a Spirit-filled church. We're grateful to be Foursquare. We recognize that the gifts of the Spirit are intended to be a blessing to the congregation when they gather. That there is a gift that you get much edification and enjoyment. And that's that Holy Spirit baptism when you receive your prayer language, we call tongues. So therefore, but the other gifts are really to edify, to build up. So they are to be in operation. And one in particular is called the gift of prophecy, and I'm about to share one that I feel God moved while we were worshiping. And always enjoy 1 Corinthians 14:3. 1 Corinthians 14 says, "He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." So those are encouraging things. So thank you for allowing me. And I just felt even this morning, I was saying, Lord, continue to bless those who are present, those who are watching via live stream. Lord, using the gifts of your Spirit that would transcend anything right to our heart. So with that, I felt like the Lord says, Paul, I'm going to give you one almost every time they meet. So here we go. Is that okay? I'm stepping out in faith. Thank you for just your ability to just be patient with me. I feel like the Lord would say, my dear one, I see how disappointed you can be when you plead with me for breakthrough and wondering why you don't come through, O Lord, to heal me and to deliver me. Don't despair, my child. For you recognize a couple of things, and I want to thank you. I am sovereign. I can do anything. I am the one that can remove this despair and this challenge of adversity upon your life. Do not stop having confidence in my ability and my desire to come rescue you. Do remember, I am much more interested in your spiritual good than your physical relief. That I'm working in you things that may not come to develop you spiritually and to nurture a dynamic person of my child in you. Recognize this too, that my grace is with you always. I will carry you through this, and I will bring you out of it. My grace is sufficient. My favor is upon you. Do not look at this adversity as if I have something against you or have abandoned you. Therefore, lift up your heart and rejoice, recognizing that in your weakest of conditions, in your most despairing of seasons, I'm getting the greatest glory. So would you choose to say, Lord, be glorified even in my weakness. I am with you. I will bring you through. Hold true. So, Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, for your promise. And I want to just encourage you right now. I want to even just read 2 Corinthians. If you felt like, wow, that was something I needed to hear, then we thank God for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we see where the Apostle Paul had some adversity going on in his life. And he says this so clearly, and it's a familiar passage to some of us that have gone through situations. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most assuredly, gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong." We want to pray the strength of God over you. And if that, I had you earlier, just pray, raise your hand if those previous words were for you. But if you just are going through some adversity, would you be so confident, say, man, I needed to hear that. And just stand to your feet. Would you just stand right where you're at? Just stand right where you're at. We might be doing this from occasion because there's always a premise to the promise. God gives a promise prophetically. I'm going to do this. There's a premise, but you got to do this first. Or we're going to always have these conversations. Premise to the promise. So if you would just, you who are seated, would you just pray with me or even extend your hands toward those who are standing? Lord, we thank you. For when we are weak, we are strong. And these individuals are more strong than they probably even would acknowledge. So, Lord, in these times of adversity, Lord, thank you for speaking. You are with them. You will bring them through and out in the name of Jesus. We want to give you glory for that. And we ask now that in their weakness, that the glory of God would resonate in them and around them through them. Lord, be glorified. And Lord, may today be the day of the breakthrough, the coming out of those things that would continue to put them down, isolate them, belittle them, and that, Lord, they are strong in Jesus. They are strong in Jesus. Bring healing. Bring outcomes that are victorious, both to you, O Lord, and to them, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. God bless. Thank you. And you who are watching via online, God bless you. Thank you for receiving that word as well. Well, this morning, friends, we are again in part three. And I thank God that in Jesus' name, Lord, you're going to open the word to us today. And we're going to see some things. That we know that this is probably one of the more difficult messages when we talk about the doctrine of rewards. This message is entitled Seeing the Kingdom Rewards, Part 3. That is our mini-series. We will finish it off next Sunday. We recognize a couple of things, and one in particular, by example, is that God will bring us to Him, and that evaluation day will happen. We looked at that in a number of scriptures. We saw how the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10, hey, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. And we acknowledge how that means. He said, well, I please God. Well, do and is everything that you are a part of, is that your aim? Lord, are you pleased in these things? Verse 10 of that passage, knowing this, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so when we talk about, that's for Christians, the evaluation of our life. We know this, that salvation is a gift. Remember, we had that phrase, heaven is by faith, rewards by works. Would you try that with me? Heaven by faith, rewards by works. Man, you can't compete with the great work of Jesus on the cross for you and I to have access into heaven. That's a given. But now that so many of us have received Christ, from this moment forward, our lives will be evaluated. And Scripture talks about, there's so much about this doctrine of rewards, the teaching of rewards, that there's more to it than even our message today can provide. In 1980, the Boston Marathon, it was the 84th marathon in Boston, and a young lady named Rosie Ruiz, who was declared the winner. Man, all the accolades, everybody was excited about that. And then a little research went on about Rosie Ruiz. They realized that's only the second marathon she's ever run. And then they discovered something else. She never trained for a marathon. She wasn't putting in the 150 miles that other athletes were just jogging and running out on the streets. What was she doing to win this 84th marathon? Come to find out that Rosie decided she was going to jump on a train there in Boston and ride it for 16 miles and then get off and then jog in on a victory lap and declared the winner. They removed her crown from her. She cheated. See, when we take a look at something that we're talking about, basically, rewards are still by God's grace, too. Even though those rewards will come to us because of your faithfulness to God, it's amazing there will always be two levels of receiving rewards in our lives. One level is right here on earth. Oh, I love it when Galatians 6, 9 says, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. The other level is right there in heaven, and that's where we're taking a look at, and that's what we're talking about. What will it look like when we stand before the Lord? You recognize that we were discussing things about not just rewards, but the word incentive. God uses incentives. We all function with incentives. Employers realize incentives work with their employees. You make enough sales, you produce enough profit, the company's going to send you to Hawaii, maybe the Bahamas or the Caribbean. Isn't that exciting? That's an incentive. And God knows we operate that way. There is an incentive. So the rewards are still by grace. God does recognize your efforts to just obey him. It could be the most simplest of elements when he just asks us to do some of the most maybe menial tasks. And we recognize we do it as unto him. We will be going to Matthew 22, but look at Philippians chapter 3. Would you find Philippians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. I'm in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul says it's okay to run the race in order to get a prize. And the aspect of the Christian life as a race is throughout the scripture, that metaphor. Look at verse 7. I'm in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, what a tremendous reward. Man, I just want Jesus and everything that goes with him. In verse 12, he brings it up a little further. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, he's talking to Christians, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but of one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Paul says, man, I am pressing toward that prize for the upward call. That upward call, and we're going to get it one day. We discuss that element of that upward call. You will have it. It's either going to be one of two ways, the rapturing of the church, man, we're gone, or the veil of death. And God knows that day that's going to happen. He already knows. We'll look a little bit closer at another man that knew his departure date next time we're together. But he recognized this. This is what I'm aiming for, my call. When my work is done, and now I'm before God, my life will be examined. Now, I want to take a look at a couple of things in Matthew chapter 22. Let's go to the left. Let's find the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus starts to describe what the kingdom of God is like. And we know that when Jesus taught in parables, he's trying to describe a heavenly reality through an earthly venue or example. So we could all say, oh, I get it. That may be what it's like. And it is the wedding feast. I'm in point number one on your notes, the wedding feast. And we see here, verse 1, because I'm addressing something, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, life group leaders. Many of you are telling me the tremendous discussions that are happening in your life group, things about the Christian's experience when they stand before God. What will that be like? One of the questions that is raised, what do we stand to lose if we are not faithful to God? Now, that's an important question because, again, heaven is by faith. That's a given. It is really impossible to lose your salvation unless you want out. But what do we stand to lose if we decide from this moment on to just be a flake and think that we will not ever be accountable to our, let's say, disobedience? How many just know, even for example, to withhold forgiveness when God says, I want you to forgive as I've forgiven you? How many know that's disobedience? And disobedience means that sin, and there's a lot of impact that falls from that. Now, for me, it's just a witness. I'm preaching Jesus will forgive sins, and yet I don't forgive somebody's sin. Can you imagine how that just destroys my witness? So it's important when I take a look at what will I stand to lose, and here we have that example of the wedding feast. Let's look at verse 1, Matthew 22, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like, and here's what it's like, a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. So we have a wedding here, and when we were together, we were looking at Revelation chapter 19, and we were discussing what that looks like when John the Revelator in verse 7, and you can write that down so you can relive it again in your life groups, Revelation 19, 7 through 10, because we recognize that it is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that the wife is the bride of Christ. The wedding garments, it says right there, the linen garments are the righteous acts of the saints, Revelation 19. And then the angel says, blessed are those who are called to this wedding. So this call's now going out. You are being called to that wedding. You've already answered the call to salvation. But now you're being called to a portion of the reward. And now we see here There's a layout that's happening because Jesus is talking to the Jews. And he's going to describe now how the Jews have responded to him and the Gentiles as well. It's both laid out here. So when we remember how the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 16, remember he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation. First to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Romans 1, 16. So the call goes out and they don't pay attention. We have a king, he's representing God. We have the son that's going to get married, that's Jesus. And we have a bride that are the children of God. That's you, me. When God in history is addressing groups of people, the first group in the Old Testament was all the Jews. He worked through the Jews. Jesus came through that bloodline. The Messiah was a Jew. In the New Testament, now he's dealing with the church. And we recognize that you are either a Jew by birth, and if you're not a Jew by birth, you're a Gentile, and once you are born again, you're neither. You are in the body of Christ. That's how in Acts, when we see on the day of Pentecost, and even in chapter 4 of Acts, it says that God added to the church daily those who are being saved. So if you've accepted Jesus daily, I mean, that's, you didn't do some catechism, you just, by faith, it is a gift. So we see here, they were not willing, verse 3. Can you see that? They're not willing to come. So, verse 4, we recognize again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, go back and tell them again. See, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. So when we see here, a second call goes out. In our notes, we're seeing the kings arrange marriage for a son, letter A, B, there's 7 days of feasting. Typically, in biblical times, there'd be a 7 days. In our timeline, we were taking a look at the 7-year tribulation period where these rewards are taking place. What most are feeling that this wedding feast is going to be a part of that millennial rule and reign for 1,000 years. But for a moment here, let us see in our notes, a twofold invitation. In advance, servants personally invited people. Then also to then the call, dinner is ready. Man, when dinner is ready, it's time, bring them all in. Bring them all in. What is worth noting here, verse 7, but when the king heard about it, about his servants being seized, mistreated spitefully, and killed. Isn't that something? Just want to add, I don't know if you've ever, and they're just inviting people to the wedding. Have you ever sent out a wedding invitation and you get persecuted for it? Have you ever invited anybody to know Jesus and get persecuted? Have you ever just invited somebody to Hope Chapel because you just know you want them to enjoy what you are enjoying in God, and you get mistreated and you feel the cold shoulder? You could see it going on here. Verse 7, but when the king heard about it, he was furious and sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city, one city. Most recognize that to be what happened to Israel and Jerusalem in particular. So we see all of a sudden, verse 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, man, it's ready. But those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. For so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good as well as bad, bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on the wedding garment. And so he said to him, friend, isn't that interesting? The king knew this dude, friend. Hey, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Now, I don't know if you've ever used the emoji, right? The little round face with just the eyeballs and no mouth whatsoever. Speechless, you know, dot, 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 dot. He was speechless. What could he say? When we were dealing with, in Revelations 19, the white garments are the righteous acts of the saints. This guy was definitely invited. He's in the wedding feast. But there's something that's on display for his lack of faithfulness to just be obedient to live his life out for God. Dude, why did you not give it your all when you had a chance? How did you make it in here? And we see here, verse 13, "Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." A couple of things worth noting, verse 14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." I like to say, many are called, but few show up. I just like to just add too, because I'll have individuals say, "Man, Pastor, I am called to do something for God. God's calling me to do ministry." I say, well, just remember two things. God works through the local church. It is his church. Get faithful to the local church. And second, always say yes to your pastor. Is that okay? Because three, God will work out that call through saying yes at that local church. If you don't know what it is, just keep saying yes. So we see here somewhere the guy may not have said yes. He knew there was something he needed to do. Many are called, but few show up. But it is interesting here because we have in verse 13, the king says, cast him out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And oftentimes people would view that as hell. See, he's going off into hell. These are the sheep and the goats, that kind of stuff. But I just want to say we have such a wrong idea what heaven's like, because most individuals glean their understanding of heaven through storybooks or children's rhymes. And so to recognize outer darkness as a part of a person when they say the question, what will I stand to lose for my lack of being faithful to God, even though I know I'm saved? We're looking at one of those areas. King says, man, you produced nothing. You're not welcomed into this wedding. Let's put him outside the wedding into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, working through that example of what that would be like, does that mean he's going to be out there or she's going to be out there forever? No, most feel that there will be a season they'll miss that wedding feast. But that weeping of gnashing and teeth, let's lay it out there so you might have an understanding. A few years back, we were on a dry riverbed out there in Big Bear Lake. Dry, it was amazing. We went out specifically to see the stars, black. I mean, it was dark. So dark, I could not see my hand move in front of my face. I don't know if you've ever been there. We've gone into caves, and the dark is so thick. I mean, you could feel it. You just can't see anything. It's the most bizarre thing. But what you could see was majestic stars, galaxies, Milky Way, universe, and beyond other universes. It just was exquisite. Often to the distant, we saw one home that had a big pane window, and we knew a party was going on. And the light from that window just illuminated out there to the dry riverbed. All the way. It was amazing. And so we could see the party going on. We weren't in there, but we could sure see it going on. To see a Christian to be in outer darkness and not be received because of their lack of response to God's whispers and the word. And they see the party, the banquet feast. think there's going to be some sorrow, don't you, and agony? Because they'll be reminded, I wish I did more while I had opportunity. I didn't. Another example, years ago, my dad, mom took our family to Disneyland. This is very clear in my mind. One of my brothers, I've got two brothers and a sister, all older than me. I was the most loved. My parents' favorite. It's true, and I got beat up for it, but it was worth it. Because I just said, Mom, it's Bob Steve again. Here we are going into Disneyland, and one of my brothers just, he did wrong. And I mean, continued to do wrong. And my dad said, Bob, you are going to be disciplined. You are not riding on any of the rides in Disneyland. You're coming in with us, but you are not riding the rides. Can you imagine? And you say, no way. My dad, mom, they were loving, but my dad, once you knew you crossed the line, talk about a guy that did not forgive easily. But I loved it. Get him, Dad. Get him. And I remember on a couple of occasions, one in particular, we are riding the Matterhorn and beginning, and there's my brother on the little bench, boo-hoo, and his eyes up. Hi, Bob. We are going, Bob. And he is weeping because of his misbehavior. He's in the park. Can you get it? He is there, invited in. He's got in. He's in heaven. Ha! But he's not enjoying what we're enjoying. And he is weeping and gnashing his teeth. Those are the examples, and I want to pass on one other one. And if we were to take a look, and just those reminders of our notes as well, we can see here, letter D, God's pattern, how he goes to the Jews first, and letter E, resist the Holy Spirit. When Stephen is talking there in Acts 7, he's talking about that the Jews were stiff-necked, always resisting the Holy Spirit. You could see where even then he's talking to people that are people of the covenant. And he cost his life to just kind of lay it out there for them. We recognize, letter F, they weren't dressed right. Letter G, many are called. But not many really believe something like this is going to happen. God's loving. But we have to be very aware of these things. Let's look at point number two, the parable of the talents. Can you find chapter 25? In Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, this is the parable of the talents, verse 14. I'm in Matthew 25, 14. Again, this is an example of the kingdom. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. That's important, isn't it? God knows what you can manage, handle. I'm so glad. I really am. And we're going to see it's not how much we produce, just being faithful with just simple things to be obedient. And immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. So he's using God's tools in a good way. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So he didn't want to do the extra work. It's really kind of, you know, fine, this guy didn't want to do the extra work. I'm going to do my thing. He's fearful enough. He's just going to hide out what God gives him. And it goes a little bit further. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. That is the 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat. That is the event right there. Settle accounts. And he's wanting to see what we have done with what God has left into your responsibility. We recognize God owns everything, but it is important that we acknowledge such with our lives. In verse 20, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now notice, 5-talent guy and 2-talent, they're going to receive the same reward. It is not based on the amount of quantity. Verse 22, so he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have it. What is yours? But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and you gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to say that is not hell. That is just the byproduct of a Christian that had very little responsibility but was unfaithful with that. When we take a look at that, it's worth noting, because when God wants to reward us, isn't it worth noting, God's word brings to those a reward, and it's amazing how he'll promise those rewards to us. We receive a commendation, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. According to our, just a few, I'm going to make you ruler over more. Many believe that's going to be in the millennial rule and reign, that Lamb's Supper, big festivity, and then there will continue on. It's going to be a busy place, and it will be with joy. Enter into the joy of the Lord. People say, well, what is heaven going to be like, man? Well, can you imagine how busy Earth is? Whatever habitations there in Mars, they're probably looking at our little gas sphere here on planet Earth saying, man, that must be a boring place, just soaking up the rays and enjoying the beach. We're busy. Maybe we hardly have time to even sometimes plan our meals for the week, right? We're just too busy. So when we take a look here, heaven's going to be busy too, and he's going to assign us with responsibilities. I'm looking at kings here, emperors, no kidding. Looking at priests, God's going to say, man, you were just faithful, just a few. I'm going to make you rule over much. And do it with joy. Come on in to the joy of the Lord. Man, ooh, love that. We look here at the person that was basically trying to protect himself. You know, God, you try to come back and gather those things. I'm going to bury it. And then the day of accountability comes, and the person is caught. He just doesn't have enough to show for his faithfulness to God. There's nothing to show. Has everything to do because of God, because heaven is by faith in what Jesus has done, but rewards are by works. So when it says cast in outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and I want to welcome our worship team up. Bible is clear that God weeps over sin. He's sorrowful. He was so serious about that, he ended up making sure that he sent Jesus to recover and help us. I think part of that outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth is also feeling the way God felt when we continue to live in that same pattern of irresponsible sin. We all want to do good. We just realize God's so faithful to forgive, and that's the beauty of repentance. We turn our life around and say, I just don't want to do that anymore. Oh, Lord, help me to stop. When we finally throw in the towel and say, man, I'm just, forget it. God's not helping me. I'm just going to live any way I want. And God weeps. He weeps over sin. And there may be a time we get to feel what God felt as a Christian may be excluded from all the rewards, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I wish I took hold of God's strength and was a better daughter or son. Well, I want to take the opportunity. We want to take that moment right now, and thank you for listening to this. God is so good to help us. And I love the fact how merciful he is. I'm going to invite you to close your Bible. Let's do that. Close your Bible. And would you stand? Let's sing this song. I want to just even now as we enter in to pray, Lord, we want to just say once again, thank you for the loveliness of your grace and the commitment to make sure we not only get to heaven, but enjoy the festivities. And as the Apostle Paul said, man, I don't care what it costs me. Everything in my past is like rubbish. I'm pressing on. I can see the end results. Lord, thank you for helping us. And Lord, once again, forgive us for those times we forget there will be that time we stand before you. Remind us even now, you are Lord. You are Lord.
As we all bow down, as we all come casting off our crowns, would you
presence of God, and we stand there and we show up with raggedy lives and disgraceful lives and embarrassing lives and sinful lives and unfaithful lives. We didn't live an exemplary lifestyle that just shows that God was our Lord and Savior. Roller coaster up and down, and God's here. He has everything we need. It just starts right in the heart. Oh, Lord, help me to be faithful to you. I told one brother, I said, I don't care how many times you commit that same sin, you keep asking God for forgiveness. Even if it's 6 to 7 times a day, don't stop till God gives you victory over that thing. And he will. Don't you panic, cut and run. So while your eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and you're not sure heaven is for you, let's make sure of that right now. Because there could be a sending forth, upward call, and what if you're left behind? Or what if you go and your time is done? And all efforts to gain and garnish rewards, you realize, man, I wish I could have given it more. It would be great to rededicate your life to him. If you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, but you're ready, would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor Paul, that's me. Thank you. Or you're ready to recommit your life to the Lord and say, I'm getting it. I want to sell out for Jesus. Would you just put your hand up and drop it right down? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Okay. And let's just pray. Maybe you may not have raised your hand, but for the sake of these two hands, let's go ahead and just pray this simple prayer in response. And you who are watching live stream, would you pray with us too? We're trusting God is speaking to you, and we're so glad that he is, because he's a life giver. He's a life giver. He comes and he brings help even in our adversity so that change happens. Life is renewed. Your life's changed, but he uses you to change other people's lives. This prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I thank you for the cross.
I thank you for the cross.
Power of the resurrection.
Power of the resurrection.
The washing clean of my sins.
The washing clean of my sins.
I accept you now, Lord.
I accept you now.
I choose to live for you.
I choose to live.
I ask you now, dear Lord.
I ask you now, dear Lord.
Keep working with me.
Keep working.
Help me to live for you.
Help me to live for you.
Don't let me be unfaithful to you. I give you permission
as a father to a child
to discipline me when necessary so that I can be yours and reign with you forever. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Can we thank the Lord for that? I want to thank the Lord for you. Grateful for you. So glad. So glad. If you don't mind, I'm going to invite you to please be seated.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.